And yes, as we have this International Youth Day, let's just begin with the obvious. Gola, what does this day mean to you?
The International Youth Day internationally is like recognition of the important role the young people are playing in their societies, particularly on peace building and reconciliation, upholding human rights, and so forth. So this day, it has come actually as a recognition from the United Nations General Assembly and then the United Nations Security Council for the important role that the young people are playing. So while we are celebrating the International Youth Day, we need actually to be proud of ourselves, the young people, for the important role that we've been playing during the implementation of this revitalized peace in the Republic of South Sudan, and the engagement that the young people are doing in different places. So it's been a lot to the young people because we feel like finally we have been recognized by the leadership, especially internationally and at the local content. So it shows that the youth are very important pillars in the societies, and their role also most needed for us to transform the nations. Mm-hmm. That's why when we are celebrating this, actually we need to be appreciating ourselves and also be proud of what we have done so far.
Great. Now, Caroline, talking about youth in this country, what are some of the issues that the youth are facing that really needed to be addressed?
Well, first of all, I would say I'm happy that South Sudan is also recognizing this day, and that South Sudan in several ways has recognized the role of the youth. But even if we talk of role of the youth, we cannot say that without challenges. Of course, as mm-hmm. everyone, the youth are not an exception, so we all have challenges. First, the challenge that everyone faces is maybe the insecurity in this country that has restricted the youth from doing some of the things that they would wish to do. Mm-hmm. And next is I would say the unemployment. There are very many youth outside there, and then the jobs are very few. Mm-hmm. Although that's also a challenge, I would say that one has a way, it can be mitigated, only that we haven't thought through so much about it. But yeah, I would say the most thing that is now really resounding to me is the insecurity that prohibits people from venturing into different kinds of work that mm-hmm. they would have taken.
Great. Now, Gola, before we even talk about the theme of this year and the role of youth in this particular implementation of the peace agreement and trying, of course, to bring peace in the country, let's talk about what Caroline just mentioned, about all these issues affecting the youth. As a youth leader, how is it going to be addressed?
Well, I think we've been discussing this in different forums, and the challenges are real, and there are many, and we don't know where to start. But at the National Youth Union, we are actually working closely with the government institutions and other stakeholders to see into it that how best we can tackle or we can address the challenges facing the young people in the country. If we can put them across, we can start with the issue of unemployment. And you have heard recently there is a lot of issues in the states. Youth are fighting and demonstrating against the humanitarian organizations that mm-hmm. are not, because they were not actually employed, or their chances has been taken by some outsiders who came from different states or from different countries. This is one of the challenges that we had, but still is the government actually to address these issues, because the NGOs are outsiders and are coming here to help us. But the responsibility of employment of the young people are upon the government of the Republic of South Sudan as a first issue. And then number two is upon ourselves as the young people. Today, we lack the skills at some point, and some private sectors actually, they don't just employ people. They employ productive people because they're aiming at the making profit at their organizations. So for you to be employed in that particular private sector, you need to be well equipped with the necessary or needed skills, mm-hmm. which we are lacking at some point in South Sudan. So at the union, we are actually working hard to make sure that we build the capacity of our young people We provide them with the skills needed for them to have opportunities. Then from there, we'll try now to come up with modality of how we can monitor and see how many young people have been employed so far. But as at the short-term plan at the National Youth Union, we are trying actually to recommend some of the youth that have the abilities and they don't know and they don't have connections, because sometimes connection matters a lot. So we are working hard to make sure that we are employing the biggest numbers possible, and we had agreement with a lot of institutions that whenever they need employees, they always contact us and we recommend them, and most of the time they're accepting them.
Yes, and the last time I spoke to you here in the studio, that was some time back, you did talk about, you know, taking youth to some vocational trainings and issues to do, like, you know, the catering and all that things, and then take them to these hotels and recommend them to work there. How far have we gone with that?
Yeah, well, we have now went very well, and I think we actually will look for another talk that will actually concentrate basically on that, because we have the data. And I did not bring it with me yet. So I think we are going to have maybe another discussion whereby we'll come up with the data, how far we have gone with this project and how much, how many young people we have employed so far and so forth. All right. But based on the current situation, there's a lot need to be addressed. And I'm sure our people also, we need to see even our business people, like now the issue of the roads, we have Bor Road, we have Baragazal Road, Road, all these projects can actually employ thousands of young people and doesn't require a lot of skills. They can be trained while they're working.
All right.
So there's a lot of opportunities. That
great. Yes, yes. Caroline, you want to say something? Please,
yes.
Welcome.
I want to disagree with Gola at some point. Mm-hmm. I acknowledge most of what he said. But I want to disagree with him in the point that saying most of the youth don't have the skills. Mm-hmm. I find that's a bit disturbing, because I've known a lot of people, mm-hmm. young people, who have a lot of experience, a lot of expertise, but they do not have the jobs or they do not have employment. So mm-hmm. that is not the actual thing, that most of them do not have this expertise. There could be a lot of things around, but one of the things I have seen or I have... heard people talk about is that sometimes you find that other people are brought in, because mm-hmm. we know there are some, let me say, private sector and these businesses that are foreign owned, so sometimes you find them bringing their own people to come and work. Yes, that is not it's I won't say it's wrong, but you can also see that at least if you see in our laws, there are certain policies that as much as you're bringing other people, you also have to employ nationals, right? Mm-hmm. So you will find that we are not actually, we as the government of South Sudan, the government is actually not strict on these people to ensure that these things are followed. Or even you could see in NGOs, you will see expatriates being employed for over mm-hmm. 7 years. Mm-hmm. When in the real sense is you're supposed to bring an expatriate where that expertise is lacking. Mm-hmm. And then that expatriate is not supposed to stay long. They're supposed to train some of the nationals to be able to take up these positions. But because we are not following those procedures, we are not following these policies, mm-hmm. so we end up being taken advantage of. But if it's for the experience and for the expertise, I know that the youth have it.
Great. Now, Gola, that's where we come in. You, as a youth leader and the chairperson of South Sudan Youth Union, Caroline mentioned something very important. The laws are there, but they're not being followed, which, if they're followed, of course, will give a lot of advantage to the young people and to the youth. You find that a company, Yajama Raksha, the real Raksha, where it's being driven by Zolal Jaminbara to come and help in their businesses instead of employing a local. Are you following these with the relevant authorities to ensure that the young people actually of South Sudan be the one to do this unskillful job? I mean, you don't really need skill to ride a raksha or to drive.
Yeah, you are right, actually. And what I'm trying to say is that, you know, when you talk about the behaviors or the concept of our cultures as a South Sudanese. And if you go back before the 2013 crisis, it was very rare or difficult or even shameful for you to find a young South Sudanese male working in a hotel as a waiter because of the concept that mm-hmm. we have, that a man cannot serve mm-hmm. people. But because of this economic crisis, people now start to change. And it's really that now we are seeing some young South Sudanese male working as a waiters. That wasn't happened before. Mm-hmm. So the mentality sometimes actually can play a lot, because we as a South Sudanese, based on our culture, we feel like we need only office jobs. Mm-hmm. And that is what I'm talking about. When we talk about the demand of the market nowadays, what the market need in terms of employment, it doesn't need someone with suit to sit in the office. It needs people with the skills. Now we don't have people with the necessary skills so that the private sector can accommodate them. And even our educational system, it's actually need to be, and something that I used to actually emphasize much on. Our educational system, not only in South Sudan, but in entire Africa, is need reform, a serious reform. And in because when you teach people theories, when you teach them abstracts, it nothing to do with the life. It's not going to help them. Mm-hmm. And I think I have a good example of myself. I've studied political science. I've graduated in 2012. I end up staying 4 years without a job. Mm-hmm. Because there was nowhere for me to be employed apart from maybe Minister of Foreign Affairs or join any political party. But there is no company can employ.
Okay, you eventually joined, exactly. Is that?
Exactly.
I think until, it's because you did not want to join anywhere else. Is
until
this
yeah. until I have to go back to school and study project management. Uh-huh. And this after I graduated from the project management, this is where the company hired me.
Okay, that's when you were able to get a job.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, Caroline, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I wanted to tell Gola that, yeah, as much as I agree that the education system is wrong, because we are only being taught
theories.
We don't have this life. Mm-hmm. That's why you see, culturally, it's just that over the recent years, things have started changing a bit, because you'll find parents want their children to be lawyers, doctors, mm-hmm. yeah. engineers, yeah, pilots. That's all.
Yeah.
There is no space. If you told your parent you wanted to be a DJ, you're the spoiled kid.
Yeah.
If you wanted to be an artist, you're a very spoiled child. Mm-hmm. You see? Because those things, it was so, just that mm-hmm. you get, eh?
Yeah.
Then we have these people, like Golaput. I'm going to categorize him. That is out of your hands, Gola. Mm-hmm. People who study and think that they are supposed to only do what they have studied, which is wrong. Just because you studied political science does not mean that you end up in whatever role you want. Mm-hmm. For instance, I've seen actually very many people who study international relations and they think they're supposed to be in Ministry of Foreign Affairs. How many people can Ministry of Foreign Affairs accommodate?
Mm-hmm.
You get. Just because you studied, you know, education is not supposed to restrict you. It's just supposed to show people that at least you are teachable.
Mm-hmm.
After being teachable, you can decide to do with your life whatever you want to do.
Great.
And the thing I also notice, why I would say that we have unemployment, is because what youth expect to be employed the way Gola is saying, we don't want to think outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to be innovative. Most of us do not want to be innovative to create certain things that you get can get for us income. And those who are innovative enough to have business ideas do not have the funds to be able to support those businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought with the agreement, with the revitalized agreement and the youth enterprise fund, at least the youth would have been given some access to funds
mm-hmm.
to be able to bring these innovations into life. But up to now.
All right. Yes, and the conversation continues here this morning on the Miraya Breakfast Show. Today is International Youth Day, and we are talking to Caroline here, who is a national associate for the Safeguarding Resource and Support Hub and youth representative to the Reconstituted Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission. We also have Mr. Gola Boyoi Gola, who is the president of the South Sudan National Youth Union. Currently, you did mention something which is very important. I mean, parents of those days, you either become a doctor, a pilot, a lawyer, or a disappointment.
Yes.
That's exactly what they think about. Now, how can we change that mindset? What can be done to ensure that if my child wants to be a DJ, come on, let me support him. Let him go out there to DJing school. Let him be a musician. Let him go out there and do drum and music and all that in the universities. How can we change that mindset from our parents?
You see, Sebi, changing culture is very difficult. It's one of the most difficult things to do. It's either because I would want to also, you know, sometimes if you want to understand people, you put yourself in their shoes. So I tried sometime to put myself in my parents' shoes, and I noticed that they get wrong examples, and they think because the other person became wrong, even you might be wrong. Because if back in the days, if you found a DJ, it's someone who is associated with drugs,
weed,
drinking, womanizing, all these things. So now
womanizing.
Yes. So
if it's a female DJ. Okay.
Female DJs just came up recently. So,
okay.
So the parents do not want their children to follow in that footsteps. They don't look at the other aspect, but they only look at the negative. So maybe if we have, now we start giving our parents the positive examples. We say, you see, Sebit is a radio journalist. There is nothing wrong with being a journalist. Mm-hmm. You get?
Yeah.
You see, someone is... I started as chapati stall and now has a bigger something. So you tell them it's just like building blocks. You start one.
And then you move to the next.
Exactly. Step. So I think we need to start looking at the positives.
Great. Gola, let's talk about the theme of this year's International Youth Day, which is youth engagement in national building through agriculture as the national theme. Now, youth and agriculture. Let's talk about that. What do you think about this theme, first of all?
First of all, I actually like this theme so much, and I actually in line with what we are discussing with the African Development Bank concerning the Youth Enterprise Development Fund. We had a meeting. We have conducted so far two meetings, and we are going to have the final meeting coming days.
Mm-hmm.
And we emphasize much on agriculture and youth empowerment. And I think we have a lot of youth organizations who are engaging in agriculture. Who they are expert in their field. They have the capacity in terms of knowledge. They have the technical know-how, but they're only lacking fund for them to actually continue with the with their projects. Mm-hmm. And most importantly, they're also facing the challenges of the land. You know, in South Sudan. Especially in Central Equatoria here, we have a lot of challenges concerning the land. And most of them, they used to come to our office with the real workable projects. But the challenge that we have is only the issue of the resources for us to finance them.
Mm-hmm.
But based on our discussion with African Development Bank, we have a very positive meeting discussion with them. And they are willing and ready to support these agriculture's projects. And we have shared with them some these youth organizations who are working in agriculture particularly. And we have submitted the concept note of this youth organization. And we want them to support this organization direct without actually coming to the National Youth Union or to the ministry. Because at the technical know-how, we are not that much aware about what suppose the technicality that they are facing, but the only role that we are going to play is to help them to acquire land so that they cultivate in that particular areas. But actually, this is the cornerstone of the economy of South Sudan, because if we talk about the economy currently, we have a lot of challenges, and we are importing up to tomatoes from the neighborhood. So these are the fields that we want to encourage our young people to produce this these important food items that will be consumed locally, so that at least we avoid importing these things from our neighbors.
Great. Now, Caroline, isn't that really annoying? The fact that as a country we have one of the most fertile land in the region, but we're importing tomatoes, onions. We're importing it from
even
the
lemon
country. Yes, like lemon. What can the youth do here? Because, I mean, when people associate agriculture sometimes with poverty, I mean, like with people who are poor, the ones should be doing this.
Mm.
What can be done to, you know, make sure that people look at agriculture as something sexy? Let me use that word if I can. I mean, how can people get involved in this?
I think people are actually now getting involved in agriculture, only that it's, as I said earlier on, it's the insecurity that's stopping us from really having agriculture as one of the things that we want to do, because if you want to do agriculture, you need a very big, like, something to support mm-hmm. us. So normally we tend to look back to going back to the villages where there is land, so that we go and farm. Yes, mm-hmm. But then if you're going back that end, you find that there is insecurity, there are these ambushes on the road, you know, all these things that happen. Mm-hmm. So we get discouraged from doing that. But I also think that, yes, you're right. Most of the people, if I would actually say 90% think that if you're doing agriculture, you're a very poor person. But I think we need to start coming out of that. We need to start educating people and letting them know that this belief is
it's archaic. Old school, it's long time.
Very
style.
Archaic, yes. Mm-hmm. That now, actually, if you're doing agriculture, you can be a millionaire. In fact, I'm indeed. Looking for money. I want to start doing agriculture.
Okay.
Yes. So I think we need to invest in, the government needs to actually invest so much in agriculture. We need to now do modern agriculture, because I know the only modern agriculture we're doing is maybe in Reng. But in these other areas, people are still using local methods of doing agriculture. If you look at these people in Kondokoro, the women that are doing it and all these things, this is still something. It's like they're doing something for subsistence. They're actually doing subsistence farming, which is not going to bring in the money. Now we need to look at agriculture as a big thing. So we need to work hard, Golam and the youth, the rest of the youth in this country. We need to work hard to make sure that we have our enterprise fund to be able to fund such projects like that. I think we should actually prioritize agriculture, because we have all the advantages. We have the land, mm-hmm. we have the human resource. Maybe it's the financial resource that we're missing, but with the land and the human resource, I know we cannot go wrong. We have the whole of Western Equatoria. I think if we actually just decide to only use only Western Equatoria and the whole of South Sudan, we can be able to feed the whole country and actually export. So we need to start looking at such opportunities. Now we have Magwi that's doing a lot of... we are getting a lot of things from Magwi. Mm. So imagine if we did that in a modern way, how much we would be able to get.
Provide food in the country.
Exactly.
All right, Gola, as we talk, of course, on this International Youth Day, are there some activities that will be taking place?
Yeah, actually, there's a lot of activities that are taking place. Yesterday, we have launched officially the International Youth Month, actually. Mm-hmm. And that there's a series of activities that are going to take place. I was not actually in office for the past 2 weeks. I was not feeling well. And the team mm-hmm. of the National Youth Union, headed by the deputy chair, they are now working on these activities. And I think we are doing this, we are celebrating this International Youth Day while we are in peace. And at the same time, we have the Youth Enterprise Development Fund are coming up. So I think it's a very good opportunity for us to practice and try to do something tangible to the people, young people of South Sudan. But I actually want just to go back a little bit on the issue of the agriculture.
And, yes.
There was a discussion that I had with WFP.
That's World Food Program.
Well, yeah, World Food Program. Mm-hmm. Because I used to heard a lot of news that they are allocating 50 million, 20 million, 30 million for food. And I was like, why don't you guys invest this money on agriculture? Mm-hmm. Like, if you can have 50 million US dollars
mm-hmm.
and you
That's
can invest them on modern agriculture's project across the country, we will not depend on support again, because you cannot just provide foods every day. And now you are even telling people to be lazy, not to cultivate, not to do anything. They said, now we are doing this, we have a project, and there's nothing coming out. So these are the challenges that actually are the government. The government is supposed to push this international organizations to make sure that instead of giving people fish, they have to do something sustainable, mm-hmm. like building capacity of our farmers, invest on modern agriculture projects. Like now we have seen Gerald Taban and some other government officials are doing very good farming in Luri,
mm-hmm.
and they are producing onions and a lot of food items. So we need actually to look into it, that instead of just providing food, we have to build the capacity of our farmers. We need to provide them with the modern facilities of the cultivating, because we at the National Union, we have an example of doing a farming project in Rang last year. And we found ourselves getting into the loss. We lost a lot of money, and at the end of the day, the production was not the way we were expecting it, because it depend on the rainy season.
Mm-hmm.
After we cultivated, we started with 1,000 fedan, but then
1,000 fedan. Okay,
and then the rain stopped at some point, so we end up losing 500 fedan, and we managed only to produce for 500 fedan.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was a modern agriculture program, it was actually been successful.
Could have done irrigation or all that. There's no water.
Yeah.
In. Okay.
So these are we are depending on
the weather.
On the weather. And some people now are afraid, especially in Rang, if you tell someone you go and cultivate, they will tell you, I don't want to gamble with God.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
It looks like gambling.
Like gamble with God.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yes, Gola and Caroline, thank you so much for coming to Mirai Studios. That's the time we have. I'm going to give you your final remarks, and let's start with you, Caroline. What could you like to say?
I would like to say that let's, as a nation, as a youth, because I'm saying as a nation because the youth are the majority, of course.
Absolutely.
So as a nation, let's come out of this thinking that agriculture is for the poor people. Let's all, if possible, let's all try and do agriculture, because that's the way of us saving our nation.
Hmm.
Instead of importing very little things from outside, these outside people actually could have come to import from us. So let's take this thing seriously. And especially on this Youth Month, I think we as the youth people, let's come up together and find a way to forge forward on this theme of agriculture. I know we can do it.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Caroline Kibos. And yes, Gola.
Well, while we are celebrating the International Youth Day, I want the young people of South Sudan to be proud of themselves for what they have done so far. And, you know, when we talk about the young people, we are not talking about the current one. We talk about the previous one and the current one and the generation to come.
And then those are no longer young people.
Yeah, I mean, before, like when you talk about the contribution.
Oh, the contribution
us,
of the young
us,
people.
Even for
absolutely.
Us who have this country.
Yes, yes.
The rebellion is started by the youth. And now we are here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how we need to take up from where they stop. So what we have done so far, it gives us hope for what we can achieve in the future. So we are the hope of the nation. Let us unite ourselves, regardless of our tribes, regardless of our political affiliation, and contribute positively in nation building, because this country is ours. And let us work with the government and support the peace agreement, because it's the only hope that our people have. So thank you very much.
Thank you.